Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce our crew, all these guys, Jeff Wininger. So thanks a lot for being on the show, Jeff, a former LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant just over a year ago. He's also the author of the new book that is coming out, On Thin Ice. And it's all good. We're so excited about Jeff's first book. Yes, we want to leave room for more. And a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, and our satellite sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million followers right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We will be doing a $2 giveaway today, and fishorlandobass.com. That is the bass fishing charter. You can go fish with Zach or catch alligators while the family is off in Orlando at Disney. You got to love the options. So fishorlandobass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, same thing, formerlawman.com carries our content, and TravisShadesLawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I know I've been kind of billing this this new main story. It's called, well, it's MSN.com, so keep that in perspective. And it's titled, A Different Kind of Justice Rewarding Good Policing to Protect Black Lives. They went there. I was so surprised. A lot of issues with this article, none of which is as bad as just identifying, protecting black lives, and it kind of implies that black lives are more important than any other life that's out there. And so we're going to set the record straight on that. Dearborn Heights Arabic police patch decision sparks reactions from the leaders. I'll bet it did. Then we got body cam video shows a man swinging a bat at Peoria police before he gets shot and killed. And we have another body cam. We got an Indianapolis police officer shooting a suspect who killed two people over a $40 dispute. North Andover officer was shot. Shot and is going to be under house arrest now, a female officer. There's a wild chase that ends as a canine, and we haven't had a good canine bite video lately. We do today. A canine takes down a wanted felon in none other than Florida, my neck of the woods. And then a man with a large hatchet fatally shot by Phoenix police officers outside of the IHOP. So there you go. So if you're ready, Jeff, let's go ahead and go to the main story. We've got roughly about 8 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So MSN.com, a different kind of justice, rewarding good policing to protect black lives. Now, look, the author is Judy Komacki, and it's J-U-D-I. The subtitle is From Reactive Accountability to Proactive Reform. I called it... When academia meets stupidity, because that's what it looks like. I got Jeff's attention on that one. So that's the ignorance in this article. It's just mind blowing. But this is when you got people that are that have the credentials. They're academia. They read books about the stuff, and they don't have any skin in the game, any experience under the belt. They're not part of the profession, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. So let's start this off. She starts off writing, after the world watched George Floyd die under Derek Chauvin's knee in 2020. And of course, anybody that's educated, at least at this point in the story, knows that that's a flat out falsehood, a false agenda. I'm not saying Chauvin's not in jail, but if we've read the book, The Lie, their line talking about George Chauvin, about Derek Chauvin and about George Floyd. We've also seen the movie The Fall of Minneapolis. So she starts it off by going there. And then she says, when George Floyd died, under the knee of Derek Chauvin, it says 5 years later, killings by police have actually risen, especially of black Americans. So that's where she's going. And let's face it, the killings don't matter if they're justified, right? I mean, you're always going to have one race that's killed more than another. You're going to have one group of one race is going to speed more or do whatever. But let me go on. I don't want to steal the thunder, because I want to hear what Jeff has to say. Many of the black community call for a different kind of justice, according to our author, who seems to know everything. One that is proactive in preventing the crimes against black people. So she's still sticking with the black theme, but now she wants to prevent them. Since George Floyd's murder, calls have grown louder for accountability, essential but incomplete. Yes, we absolutely need to hold officers accountable and ensure the officers are punished for wrongdoing like it's an everyday occurrence. But accountability is reactive. It comes only after a tragedy. Rarely does it drive prevention of the next tragedy. In fact, the threat of being sanctioned often creates perverse incentives. So she's educating me on this one because I didn't know this. It drives employees to cover up misconduct that helps explain why punishment alone fails to prevent the excessive use of force. Interesting. So the Camden County Police Department in New Jersey avoids this trap by using body cameras, not to punish, but to reward. Chief Gabriel Rodriguez and his supervisors review body cam footage daily. Wow, what kind of manpower does that require? Not only the flag violations, but they identify and celebrate good policing. Officers are publicly commended for de-escalating dangerous encounters, including one where a knife-wielding suspect was subdued without harm. They got him good and they got him alive, is apparently a quote from staff. No one should get pulled over for a traffic violation and not make it home to their family, according to Rodriguez, after the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols. And then we go on. And just as reinforcing safety behaviors cut workplace accidents by 69%, complaints plummeted when Camden supervisors reinforced de-escalation. As reported in the ABA Journal in 2021, 4 years ago, excessive force complaints dropped from 65 in 2014 to just 3 in 2020. Camden, the police force, it shows what happens when body camera footage is used to recognize officers or to reward them for the de-escalation efforts, right? According to our author. Now, here's the last part of this. Unfortunately, and this is the hook, right? This is the huge tell right here. Unfortunately, most police department dashboards, they only track crime statistics, arrest and police failures, excessive force reports, citizen complaints, but there's no mention about positive police performance. If dashboards added skillful de-escalation, it would help to change the police culture. So to address that gap, I have developed, and this is where our author is like just trying to sell this thing that she's created to alleviate the problem. I developed a behavior-based grading system for de-escalation using publicly available videos. The rubric assesses how many officers manage encounters based on their ability to calm, listen, and resolve safely. And the take into account varying interactions, grading was adjusted for compliant protesting, attacking, and dangerous suspects. And she gives a AAA reward for repeated de-escalation, you know, the stuff that kind of gets other cops, you know, cops killed in other jurisdictions because they're trying to de-escalate too much. Departments, she thinks, could institutionalize this addition, you know, this thing that she created, by establishing a merit center to evaluate submitted footage. Officers or partners, they could submit 2 clips per month, you know, of their friends and stuff they're trying to hook up with, showcasing officers' noteworthy interactions, and the footage would be rated using a fair collaborative process, kind of like the one our author came up with. Officers and community members would be invited to nominate outstanding videos to be shown to the community. And that's about all I could took. I had to stop there, Jeff, before I was going to, you know, throw up all over myself and my, you know, in my equipment. So your thoughts on this?
I've got to tell you, it's not consistent with my 33 years experience in law enforcement. There's a lot of generalizations that are being made in this article that are being basically presented as fact. And the reality is that whites are killed in gross numbers, the highest rate of anybody by law enforcement in the United States. Now, one could argue that blacks are disproportionately killed by police officers. But at the end of the day, you and I both know, Chip, and everybody in law enforcement knows, you have to take it down to the granular analysis where it's each individual case. And in the over 700 cases that I had my hands involved in with the LAPD, with lethal force and officer-involved shootings, there was absolutely zero empirical evidence to suggest that there was anything different in regards to an officer's decision to use lethal force when dealing with people of any particular race. So there's just a kind of a broad brush and assumption relative to the analysis that this person has given and in this article. It's so much more complex. They're kind of insultingly making it seem as if it's as simplistic as this article is, and it just isn't. Yes, I do agree that there's nothing wrong with using carrots versus sticks in order to try to get the conduct and behavior you're seeking to achieve. That being said, this isn't anything that law enforcement hasn't been doing for years.
Yeah, it's amazing what people, they think they can just step in and they know everything about law enforcement, they can fix the problems after giving a lot of misinformation out. But we'll finish this up in a minute. We're going to come back after a commercial break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, as police officers, we know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, it gets almost endless, right? The possibilities, the choices that you have. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're going to get your gear, please go to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, they give, we give away a couple of gift cards every week on the show. You can hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends as well. And I just ordered a new pair of Danner boots that I've been talking about. Extremely comfortable. I got a great deal. Didn't have to pay a half price because they had this ongoing sale, and they typically do every week, or they'll have free shipping. It's a great opportunity. Gauls.com. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com is committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And, yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies.com. You'll be very glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host for a law enforcement talk show, joined by former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger. So, Lieutenant, I know we've been talking about this article and basically providing incentives for police to do the right thing. That's what's going to fix it, because we want to stop the bad things from happening. We don't want to be reactionary and discipline people for it. We want to prevent it from happening. And I don't know, Jeff and I suspect, had a different culture that we worked with. I mean, there's some overlap, obviously, but, I started my career in 83 and I ended in 2013, which was this month on the 19th will be 12 years since I retired. And Jeff, what are the dates? When did you start your career? Was it around 2000, early 2000?
No, but I started my career in the late 80s.
In the late 80s. Okay, like what year do you remember?
88.
Okay. So yeah, only 5 year difference from start, but you stayed on
January 30th,
2024. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So Jeff's seeing more of the culture change than what I've been able to. Cops, for the most part, when I worked, we didn't want pats on the back. We didn't want to be recognized because that's why we took the job. We didn't need that. The motive, it was almost insulting, and knowing how most cops are built, or at least how they were when I was in the game, they don't want that. That's not the way you approach cops. And if you have to do that to someone to keep them from making those kinds of mistakes and breaking the law and stuff, guess what? You got to get that guy out of the profession. He doesn't belong there. So I'm insulted, but when you got academia, these people that read books and that's all they know, and they think they can just put things on paper, and solve these world problems. It just doesn't work that way. It's just a lot of ignorance. So I noticed that, which bothered me. Misinformation, of course, about George Floyd, black, leaders and people wanting more transparency and accountability, and all this stuff, and all these things that people are saying are just simply not true. And then the agency that's reviewing body cameras footage or the idea that people submit videos of people they work with so they get the award and stuff. And I think that we've talked about that before on the show, where when you create, and I don't know if you're on that show or not, Jeff, but when you create an atmosphere where cops get rewarded for this stuff, number one, you're in danger of getting cops killed or civilians killed, because now there's an incentive for them to keep talking to the guy, keep giving him warnings, or you get that award, you know. And meanwhile, the bad guy, Jeff and I know, he's thinking about his next move or how he can get away or how he can hurt the cop, and you're giving him the time that he shouldn't have to plan, you know, his escape or how he's going to hurt you. And so we've actually seen the reverse happen, and we've talked about it on the show before, and we've seen agencies that do this, and it might have been this agency that they mentioned in the story, and we talked about what a perverted system it is and how it's just gonna get people killed or hurt. But your thoughts on that, Jeff?
It's kind of interesting that you bring that up, because when Charlie Beck was our chief with the LAPD, there was a proposal wherein you know how you have like the Medal of Valor and you have the Police Medal and the Police Star and Life-Saving Medal and all those sorts of things. They wanted to create a medal that you would be recognized for your de-escalation efforts. Oh. And it was shot down. And the reason is for the facts that you just stated. We are trained as police officers to evaluate a circumstance. And we know that Graham versus Connor, the 1989 Supreme Court case, dictates when you can use lethal force or for any force for that matter. And it's objective reasonableness. And officers need to understand and know this inside and out and be able to apply it in real time under rapidly unfolding tactical scenarios and make split second decisions. And that being said, you can't have the benefit of 2020 hindsight and being critical of officers. But that's what we need officers to be basing their decisions off of. Not, well, maybe I could get a medal. That can't be the mindset. So I discourage that. You know, I got the Medal of Valor for going into a fire, which was a convalescent home. An elderly person there had fallen asleep smoking a cigarette, started a fire, and, it was a huge thing. We got about 80 people out of there. But, the fire department, they were like, what you did was not smart. And it's just by the grace of God that you didn't become part of the problem for us when we responded. And, truth be told, I was hospitalized and I have permanent damage to my lungs because of the smoke inhalation that I had. So, there's a risk of just recognizing somebody with the Medal of Valor for doing a fireman's job when you don't have the benefit of turnout gear and the breathing apparatus and all that sort of stuff, right? So, you have to be careful. Because you don't want to hang these carrots in front of people and have them make bad judgment calls because they want to be recognized for some type of valor or what have you. So it's really, the focus needs to be on the standard that we're evaluated by, which is the Graham versus Connor. And like I said, it's about each individual case. When you look at each individual shooting, there is no evidence whatsoever to suggest that law enforcement officers are responding differently with lethal force to any minority group over another. It just does not exist. And I had to analyze this stuff every year. We came out with a report with the LAPD and we looked at that, and then we compared it to the national statistics that are being submitted to the FBI to see where we were relative to other large municipalities. And it just doesn't bear out to the way that this individual that wrote this article was suggesting. Do we have problems in law enforcement? Yes. Are we the first ones to call it out and want to change that? Absolutely. Are there areas that we can improve our culture and things? Of course. We're not sitting here telling you we're perfect, but it's not this huge systemic problem that is, it just really isn't.
Yeah, agreed. The article is a bust, but we had to educate people because, when people read these articles and they don't know, they just don't know. They don't know what they don't know. You'd hate for, I was watching some of the commentary and I don't want people to be misled by someone as ignorant as this making those postings. And you know, when you read about more blacks getting killed, there's reasons for that. There's reasons for that, obviously. And maybe they're unarmed, but that doesn't mean they're not grabbing the cop's gun. They still list those as being unarmed. So I assure you guys that the questions being asked are the wrong questions. And thanks for pointing all that stuff out too, Jeff. Commercial break, guys, we'll be right back. All right, it's time to talk about one of my favorite sponsors, Arrow Precision by Arrow. Well, Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions and their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards. Hit arrowprecisionusa.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and now they're being tailored for the civilian customer, and that means you. Now you can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less, when you can have the best. arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, also the author of the upcoming book On Thin Ice. And, you know, we just got done talking about this article. I think we pretty much have wrapped it up with some poor advice given for handling law enforcement. Jeff and I on the break were just talking about the system working for the most part. Tyree Nichols, and how we identified five bad cops that got fired, arrested, and charged, and the system predominantly works. I know the author with this was going to stop the problem before it happened. That's where she wanted to go. But again, the article was a disaster, starting off with talking about the murder of George Floyd. Even MVS over on Rumble was talking about how about the drugs in the system, and when people know about the placement of where the knee actually was, and not going from the camera angle where it looked like it was, you know, across his neck, and it wasn't. There's a lot of ignorance, and our author for that article is extremely ignorant, and apparently doesn't know what she doesn't know. So any more commentary on that? Are you ready to move on to the next topic, Jeff? Or why don't you give us the update on the book, Jeff? And I know that Betty Dunn won last week, and you had another winner the week before that. Tell people about the contest and how they can enter, and the release date for the book, please.
Well, the release date is September 16th, so that's a week from tomorrow. And, you know, do yourself a favor. Have the opportunity to win the swag VIP box. All you need to do that is go to onthenicebook.com and put in your email address. You'll be placed on the email list and have an opportunity to be selected as the winner each week, where we announce the winner live here every Thursday. And as you said, last week it was Betty Dunn.
Wow. Wow. So you've got a new friend for life now. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you couldn't go to a better person.
Yeah. Hey, well, all I'm saying is that if they turn your book into a movie and you walk down the red carpet, I better see Betty Dunn in your arm, you know, walking side by side, you know. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yeah, she'll be my red carpet date.
There you go. All right. You guys heard it here first. So if you're ready to move on, we do have some interesting. Let's talk about this Dearborn, Michigan patch, Fox2Detroit.com. You know, my dad grew up in Warren, Michigan, outside Detroit. And I remember, you know, as a kid, going back and forth, you know, always going up to Michigan on family vacations, seeing the grandparents and all that stuff. But this article is written about Dearborn Heights, and apparently there's an Arabic police patch, and a decision they made involving the patch and getting it out there, it sparked reactions from the leader. So listen to the commentary on this. Dearborn Heights, Michigan. This is on Fox 2. A controversy is brewing in Dearborn Heights over a police patch, with some supporting it and many loudly opposing it. So residents in the Dearborn Heights area, they're familiar with the patch. It features Dearborn Heights at the top and Arabic writing on the bottom. It was posted on the Dearborn Heights Police Department Facebook page a few days ago, and then the chaos started, right? They said that it's intended to reflect and honor the diversity of our community, unquote. And so Fox 2 learned that the creator wanted it to be optional for Ramadan, and the post quickly sparked reaction, said that many find it controversial. The comment section was disabled. They disabled the comment section. They didn't want to see what people had to say, and they couldn't handle the truth, apparently. And then the post ended up being taken down on Friday. So the mayor of Dearborn, apparently, is Bazzi. Mayor Bazzi stated online that the patch was merely an idea. It should not have been presented as an official prototype. Yeah, so he's backtracking. He emphasized that multiple police stakeholders should have been included in the discussions. And he goes on to say that should efforts like this be formally undertaken to make any changes to the public public police uniform, it is their goal to include multiple PD stakeholders for a larger conversation. He's passing the buck, basically, and just saying that they weren't seriously considering it, which, of course, I suspect that they are. And I suspect I did read something else saying they've like put it on the back burner now, the putting the Arabic writing on the new police patch. So we'll see what happens. Jeff Weininger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to make of this. You know, in Los Angeles, you go into communities there and you might as well be in a foreign country, because all the businesses and stores and things there, it's a complete different language. You wouldn't know that you were in the United States. I guess if it has a huge Arabic population and demographic would warrant it, I can understand perhaps why they would consider it. But you definitely have to go through the proper channels. And the fact that there's this much, you know, upheaval or, you know, lack of conversation and continuity and what people's thoughts are on this, that it was just a poorly thought out thing to do. It doesn't appear that it would be appropriate. You know, when did police departments become NFL teams where they have special uniforms for a given weekend or something? You know, I mean, it's like we don't wear different patches because of Christmas or because of Hanukkah or whatever. So I just find it to be, I think you hit it on the nose. Somebody thought they had a great idea, and from their perception, without ever asking the right people, they kind of ran with it. And now that they're seeing that it fell to the ground with a big thud, but backtracking a bit. But I can understand why that, perhaps. I don't know the demographics there. I just got to assume it has a large Arabic population. But it just didn't turn out to be a good idea.
Yeah, I'd have an issue. I mean, if they, even where I'm at, I mean, our Spanish population here in Tampa, being so close to Miami and stuff, we have a lot of. You know, Spanish people, especially Cubans, right? But if they put a police patch and it was in Spanish, I'd have an issue with that, you know?
There's something to be said. You know, when I was, I came home, visit my father, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And I went and saw my great aunt, and we were talking about Los Angeles. And the Weininger family came here. They were basically farmers from Germany. And she goes, you know, when the Weiningers came here, you weren't allowed to speak anything but English in the household, because we were now Americans and we needed to assimilate. And that has changed. There's a kind of a different perception about that and how people view that. But, you know, I think in long term, you make things more difficult if you're not open to assimilating to the culture and to the language and things like that. You know, children in Los Angeles, they struggle academically because English is their second language, and it's allowed to continue to be because outside of school, they're not speaking anything but Spanish. So that does them a disservice, really. And it's even got to the point where they're starting to teach classes in school in Spanish so the kids can understand what's going on, so they can learn the concepts of what's being taught. But at the same time, you're still creating this huge gap between those that can speak English and those that can't. So, you know, something to be said about assimilating to where you are. When in Rome, do as the Romans. And that doesn't mean we don't appreciate the unique cultures, right, that make up our communities. That's not what I'm saying. We absolutely do that. But, you know, we have to facilitate a process that is going to improve people's standing in society relative to their ability to make a living and have productive lives in the United States.
Well, I'll tell you what, are you ready to move on to a story with a video component?
Sure.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the commentary. And everything you said makes complete sense. So I'm just glad that we don't have Arabic we didn't have it on our police patches. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have body cam video shows a man swinging a bat at Peoria police before he ends up being shot and killed.
You say, bro, I'm standing in the shade.
I already told you.
What did I do?
I'm not going to tell you again.
What did I do?
I already told you.
What did I do?
I want you to set that back.
What did I do?
I want you to set that back.
Shots off. Police, stop! Show me your hands. Show me your hands.
What did I do?
He doesn't die right away. I thought the guy was going to survive. But we have Illinois State Police. They have released body cam footage from a deadly encounter involving two Peoria police officers and a 41-year-old bad guy who actually had a bat. So Brandon Lewis of Peoria, fatally shot by police. They said that he swung a bat at officers and then he actually hit one. So officers or the officers have been identified as Veronica Orozco, so a female officer, and DeMonte Williams, the male officer. And it goes on to say that in the video released, Officer Williams is, he's seen discharging his firearm toward Lewis while trying to detain him. So, and the preliminary autopsy findings found that our bad guy died of a gunshot wound to the abdomen. So it starts off by saying Officer Orozco, our female officer, and Williams, the male, they come upon our bad guy at an intersection. It's 5:15 in the middle of the afternoon, August the 5th. And so the female officer asked the bad guy who's sitting down on the side. He's by like on a sidewalk on a small little wall and sitting down facing her with a bat across his lap. And she asked him about being accused of urinating with his pants down in the area. And he said that he'd been walking all day, that he had to urinate. And she points out that he can't do that in public. And if he needed to go to the bathroom that badly, use a public facility. So it kind of goes back and forth. And he's saying that he didn't do it, and then he finally admits to doing it. And we're coming up at a commercial break. Wow, I hate it when that happens. Stick with us, guys. I'll finish the story in a second. Here we go. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules for the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And listen to this deal from the founder, who's Dan O'Kelly. So Dan O'Kelly has got a workaround where if you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. And we're talking about a bad guy swinging a bat at Peoria police before he ends up getting shot and killed. And I've been going through that story. And, you know, they have a urination in public call. We got a male and female officer that arrived. The female, I wasn't sure if she was in training or not. I suspect she probably was, just because that the male officer was standing back, letting her kind of handle the interaction between the bad guy sitting on the small wall. And but then when they, you know, they kind of move in to grab the bad guy on the charge. It's a lot of a lot of, you know, back and forth on this, you know, where, you know, he keeps asking her, you know, questions, and she keeps repeatedly telling him, you know, it's for, you know, it's urinating in public. And then he says that he had his pants on, and then she points to a spot on the sidewalk where there's like urine there. But this goes, so she would have gotten that AA rating from the first story. Remember the author that was talking, she wants more of this de-escalation stuff. So, and this is what happens. This bad guy sitting on the wall and he's planning what he's going to do. And that's exactly, she gives him the opportunity to do that. And so sure enough, both officers, the male and female, go in to put hands on the guy. He stands up and he starts swinging this stupid bat around. And it's a wooden bat, I believe. And so he stands up, he's swinging it. And apparently he hits the male officers. We'll find out in a second. But he stands up, he's swinging it. And it shows him swinging the bat. And our officer Williams, the male officer, fires a shot. Lewis runs into the street and he flees. The male officer gives chase, finds him. And then the female officer shows up. They get him handcuffed and he ended up getting shot, you know, in the abdomen. But they end up pronouncing him dead. And then they end up getting the bat and stuff. And it goes on to say that the male officer later on during the body cam said that he hit me with the bat twice. I pulled my gun and doesn't go any from there. So bad guy pronounced dead after he lost consciousness. Jeff Winninger.
You know, this is a perfect case to talk about after our initial conversation. And the reason I say that is you had this guy that had a bat. And when the officers approached him, that's when he became violent. And he swung the bat, and then he ultimately threw the bat at the officer. And the officer responded by discharging his firearm. So I'm curious how this department captured the question or the answer relative to, was the suspect armed at the time of the officer involved shooting? Because at the time that the rounds were fired, he no longer had possession of the bat. But that's not what's in question here, because the decision at the moment the officer made the decision to fire, he was in possession of the bat. People need to understand that there's that lag time where you see and perceive the threat, where nobody would tell you that this was not a circumstance where the officer was at risk of serious bodily injury or death as a result of the way that this guy was yielding that bat and wielding it and swinging it around. So then he then has to decide how is he going to respond, and then he has to respond, where some things will change. And by that point, he had thrown it at the officer, and it appears that it actually struck the officer, and the suspect was struck by gunfire. But at the end of the day, then how did they capture this? So was this an innocent black man that was shot and killed by an officer while he was unarmed? Did you see what I'm saying?
I hope I'm making
some sense. And that's not the reality if you understand how our brains work. What the lag time that's involved relative to perceiving a threat, deciding how you're going to respond to the threat, and then responding to the threat. That's why oftentimes we'll see the rounds that strike a suspect in the back. But at the time the officer's perceiving that threat and making the decision to respond with lethal force, the suspect's actually facing it. So, you know, these are all things that you have to be able to ask that next question and peel back the onion. And it requires a great level of understanding and training and experience and knowledge relative to education to be able to properly assess these type of circumstances. So, I thought that was an interesting one to talk about after we had that initial conversation. But, the female officer used verbalization to try to obtain voluntary compliance. That was all great. She should be commended for that. But at no time did I feel that it was appropriate for the officers to approach the way that they did, because nothing they had done or said resulted in any compliance. And the suspect had access to a weapon that could cause some serious injury and even potentially death, depending on where and how you were struck. So it just seemed to me that they just kind of discarded the fact that this Hughes had demonstrated that he was more than just being non-compliant because of the fact that he was armed. And that in and of itself is a requirement. So, you know, to assess in your action. So I don't know. It probably could have been avoided if they would have been a little more assertive.
All right. Well, good point. Good commentary. And I'm just looking here, you know, I think I'm going to adjust the storyline. I think I'm going to go to the canine video since we've only got about 4 minutes here. And so let's talk about our canine here. TampaFreePress.com, TampaFP.com. It is Wild Chase ends as canine takes down a wanted felon in Florida.
Gainesville, he's playing. Ooh, bitch. Contact dog bite. Hands up! Hands up! Let go of the dog! Let go of the dog!
So it's a dramatic chase. Happened on Wednesday. Ended with the arrest of a dangerous wanted felon after a patrol car was rammed and a canine unit was deployed. So Alachua County Sheriff's Office detectives, they ended up being tipped off that this guy they're looking for, Trevor Strauder, who's wanted for some violent crimes outside the county, that he's in the area. And he was also thought to be armed. So we have Detective Clayton Litzko. He spots the Nissan Altima that's being driven by our bad guy, attempts a traffic stop, car stops, you know the drill, cop, you know, seems to get out. The guy takes off again at a high rate of speed. And so the deputy performs a tackle maneuver to the fleeing vehicle. It looks like, he rams like some kind of a vehicle. It almost looked like a minivan, but the way the driver, after our bad guy's merging onto like an entrance ramp, and this guy in this cool car, they kind of collide. And then when the bad guy tries to go around the bat, it looks like the cool car, it's like trying to go back and hit him again. That's why I thought maybe it was an undercover cop instead of like a civilian. But in any case, the suspect rams a patrol car after that and becomes disabled. The bad guy's car does. And now our bad guy jumps out and he flees on foot into a wooded area. That's okay. We got our canine officer showing up. Canine bails out. And in my show notes, I put down that you can actually hear the screaming, pretty forthwith. And the bad guy had a suspended driver's license, convicted felony, all kinds of stuff. So commentary on this, Jeff, you got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, to look at it, it's very different, my experience policing in Los Angeles, because you're in an urban area and you very often have built-in grids, which is basically the streets. You have north, south, east, and west. So it's very easy, like I've spoken about in the past, where we would allow the individual to run into a perimeter. We'd set up a perimeter because it's easy to set up a containment. Well, this is a much, much more rural area. You may have a half a mile before you would have any way of setting up a containment, because especially the fact that he was running into a wooded area. So, oftentimes you'll see that law enforcement agencies will have different type of policy relative to the deployment of their canines in these types of rural areas. And, in this case, it's an appropriate deployment of that canine, because, you're going on a foot search of a potentially armed suspect in a wooded area. You're at a significant disadvantage. So, why not use the canine? And in this case, the use of the canine, although some people may have issue with it because they believe it to be barbaric or what have you, these dogs are highly trained, and they're trained to find and bite and hold, and this ultimately could have prevented the circumstances from escalating to the point where deadly forces had to be used. So it was a good deployment of the dog.
Yeah, and the dog released at the appropriate time. And it was, they don't always like to let go. Right. So it was nice. No, not many people should have a problem with this video but the screaming was kind of entertaining. So, yeah.
Well, it's definitely a deterrent.
Oh yeah. The guy didn't want to part. He did not want to get bit. And once it happened, whatever it took to stop the biting, he was all over that. So totally agree. Another great show. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, for being on here, and exciting stuff going on Thin Ice, getting ready to come out. Next Tuesday, I believe is the date. So excellent. Good stuff. And guys, you should take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that has suffered from things like PTSD and other issues. And if you, they also have a summit coming up for both officers and their wives as well. So if you haven't checked out the Wounded Blue lately, or you don't have information about the summit, please go to thewoundedblue.org and get more information. Also want to talk about Jeff's book. Don't forget it. I've got it on the screen, jeffwininger.com. You go to unthinicebook.com to get more information. Make sure you enter in the contest to get the VIP swag bag and all the cool incentives. And let's go ahead and mention our sponsors as well. Guys, please support our sponsors. We have Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeway Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.